Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
Blue 20! Blue 20!
It's Intentional Grounding. Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue and the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
Welcome in episode 52 of Intentional Grounding. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here as always. Our Christian Jones episode.
You couldn't find anybody more relevant?
Good. No.
I like Christian. I like cheese.
The cheese.
Good special teamer. I don't know if he's going to find a role in Vic Fangio's defense, though.
Yeah.
Full time.
This is Intentional Grounding, and we are back for another preview episode. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding, and we appreciate you leaving reviews and rating us on iTunes if you have a chance. Helps get the pod some extra exposure. We're happy to be back this week. Bears are 0-3. People are still listening, though, and we appreciate you listening. We're here for you.
They like the fire and brimstone, Adam.
What fire?
We have the fire.
Oh, we have it.
We
yeah.
have the fire. A little bit of brimstone.
Unfortunately, the Bears don't seem to have much of that. See if they could turn around this week against the Lions. I don't know. It's hard to be optimistic even against the Lions at this point.
I'm looking for one. I don't know what. The offensive line played pretty well, I guess, against the Cowboys. The Cowboys, though, aren't exactly world beaters up front. What is your one positive? Is there one positive you could take away from the first 3 weeks?
As a whole?
Individually, you can.
Like, I think it was a positive the offensive line played better.
Yes.
I think it's a positive that they have a... It looks like they have a capable backup quarterback.
Okay.
Which was a question based on how Brian Hoyer played in camp and the preseason. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a positive that Kevin White got established. I thought it was a positive that Zach Miller got established. Now, that's all... in catch-up, in garbage time, but at least when you look at White's situation, it was needed to have a big highlight reel catch down the sideline, a juggling catch. That helps his confidence. I don't think it helps the team's confidence.
I think it helps the confidence. I just 6 catches on 14 targets leaves a lot to be desired.
Some of those are bad balls by Hoyer, though.
Well, some of them were throwaways,
yes.
too. That's why... I think Pro Football Focus had him with the highest adjusted completion percentage. And that's a good point because, yeah, a couple of those get put in the scorebook as a target to Kevin White when they're realistically a throwaway.
Yeah, he's just the closest guy.
Yeah. So that's,
he's just in the vicinity of the throw.
Right. We'll dive into our preview here for the Bears-Lions in a second, but let's start with our news from Hallis Hall this week. All right, so... John Fox on the injury report.
With diarrhea?
This is a major story. Wow, Sun-Times reporting it's diarrhea.
What else is a stomach flu, though? It's coming out holes, Adam. Pick one.
All right, we are officially already diving into this a little bit too much.
Too deep.
We'll find out if he's back today as we record this on Thursday. But Wednesday, John Fox out with what was called a stomach bug.
Mm-hmm.
Sun-Times reports it's diarrhea.
What other...
Was that a headline on the Sun-Times back page today?
Right.
Should have been.
Everybody needs a break.
He needs a
day off, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Bears fans are sick to their stomachs,
you
too.
Don't want that. Well, it's a great point there. You don't want that type of bug going around your team.
No. Not a big deal.
No.
It's just kind of a fun story. The bigger story, Jay Cutler practiced yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
No brace on his hand, no tape on his hand. That said, from what we were able to see during the very short portion of practice open to the media, wasn't really doing much. Very throwing the ball with a little zip, but not much. Very lightly. Yeah. What we don't know was that for show. Did he do more once we weren't able to watch practice? Did he do less? Did he not do anything in team portions?
Well, Vic Fangio wasn't going to say, because what quarterback?
Fangio did a great job filling in for John Fox.
Yeah. Yesterday.
His answers were even more vague than Fox.
Yeah. Right, you put that head coach hat on for a little bit for a day. Perfect. He's as evasive as you can be.
What quarterback, he said. Jay Cutler. He said he didn't have an update, but he would make one up for us.
Yeah. See, at least he's
honest. We'll take anything.
Just give us a great soundbite, Vic. You've been doing that since you arrived here.
Which he did. He did. What quarterback? That was great. So, Jay, it's way too early, I think, to have any idea of whether or not he'll play this week. I am skeptical, though.
Well, they can only list him as limited, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very limited. It's not an option.
Right.
I think it's a long shot, but his history says he's a quick healer. But this is different than like a groin or something he could, you know, kind of tough out. If he can't grip the football, that's significant. There's a difference between being limited in your feet movements in the pocket, right? I mean, he doesn't have the greatest footwork to begin with. But to not be able to hold the ball firmly and put the zip on it that he typically can be, major problem.
I was surprised with what he was even, like when he first grabbed the football and threw it, I was surprised that he threw it as well as he did. I mean, it was a perfect tight spiral. He just didn't throw it all that hard, you know. Yeah. But this was also individual drills when they're just sort of warming up too.
Yeah.
But then as they started going through more of the routes with the wide receivers, and this is just quarterback wide receiver drills, Brian Hoyer was still clearly the starter of practice.
Yes.
Okay, so, but again, they may have just been trying to play with us because they have to open it up to the media for, what is it, like 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is?
Yeah.
And who knows? But John Fox wasn't there, so.
Yeah. I mean, he sends Cuddy a text message. Hey, you got to get on in this. We got to be coy with the Lions. We got to get this win.
Good point.
Go out there and just, you know.
So far, being evasive about injuries, it's really working. It's really working.
Right.
Bears are 0-3.
Right. Nobody's confused. I wrote a column in the Hub Arkish insert. It's in today's Sun-Times.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah. The Hub insert.
The Hub.
Jay Cutler has to be very cautious with what he's doing. I know he wants to rush through his injuries. He always has. But the circumstances of this have changed, right? He needs to be healthy. He can't go out there and tough through this. This is different than his other injuries. This is more than this year for him, right? Brian Hoyer is healthy right now. It's the one major advantage he has over Jay Cutler. Cutler cannot compete with him if he can't throw the ball and be Jay Cutler as we know him. He cannot be that. His strong arm isn't his strong arm if he can't grip the football. You know what I'm saying? So it's in his best interest to make sure he gets through this injury all the way. He can't rush through this because, yes, the Bears need wins now, but this is for next year for him. You know what I'm saying? Does he have a spot on this team next year? Can he find a better place to go to next year? You know, a lot of people think he needs a fresh start. He needs his thumb to be 100%. He can't make this thing. He can't rush back, get hit against the Lions, and all of a sudden this is a 2 to 3 week sprain turns into a season long sprain.
You can look at this either way though, because you know in some ways going forward these are all contract years for Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Because these are all basically 1 year options from this point out. And that includes this year. So most guys in contract years will try to play through everything to show they're durable. But like you said, you also don't want to damage it to the point where you can't be out there at all.
Yes.
It's a fine line.
What's the point of going out there if you can't be 100% in your contract year? I mean, I get that.
Well, don't you think Alshon, though, played through whatever knee ailment?
That's different. Like, let's compare it to what's the best analogy to a wide receiver? It's like he's got a broken hand, right? Maybe a similar injury, right? He can't catch the ball without his hand, just like Cutler can't throw the ball without his hand. If he's out there short hopping balls again, getting picked off by a linebacker because his throw is 5 yards short, what good is that to do in his contract year? Or, you know, what message does that send to the Bears? What message does that send to other teams, you know, that may want his services next year?
All right, let's get to our final news story that we got to talk about, too. Kyle Fuller goes on injured reserve this week. Peculiar.
You've been on top of this.
Yeah. So and, let it go. And I was told, what was this, before the week two, before the Eagles game.
Yes.
That he was 90% there. That it would be a game time decision.
Mm-hmm. For the Eagles game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me rephrase, because it's day before the game.
Okay.
It possibly could be a game time. They wanted to see how he felt the day of the game. If he felt good, they would put him through warm-ups. If he didn't.
Right.
And we ended up not seeing him. So obviously he didn't feel good that day. But it seemed like there was a decent chance he would get back by week three, at least week four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now all of a sudden he goes on IR. It's weird.
It screams of a setback.
I was told, though, there was no setback.
Okay.
Which makes it even more... And I believe it, too.
Yeah.
So, we've kind of seen this before with the Bears. Putting guys on IR.
And their locker just disappears from Alice Hall?
Yeah. I'm not saying that's going to happen.
No,
Kyle was still
no.
there yesterday. He's still under contract for another year. But
so was Eagle Ferguson. Where's his locker?
Good point.
So was Ryan Mundy last year. Word hit locker. He was under contract,
yeah.
Technically.
There seems to be something going on here between the Bears and Kyle Fuller. And I don't know exactly what it is, but it's my understanding right now that Kyle Fuller is not hurt enough to be out for the next 8 weeks.
Okay.
Let me put it that way.
When I talked to him, it'd be a week ago, Thursday of last week, he said he was feeling better, but he was struggling with the football movements. Running and all that's no problem. But it was the cutting, the breaking down for a tackle, or it's turning his hips, flipping his hips and chasing a receiver, or going for jump balls, football movements. So they weren't a struggle, but he wasn't feeling where he wanted to be. Now, is it going to take him 8 weeks to get to that point? He didn't seem to give me that impression when I talked to him. But he did say that some movements were still... The work in progress isn't the best way to put it, but still arduous for him. Now, could he have played through him? Probably, because this is a knee ailment pre-surgery that dates back to last season. So he's played through this before and still looked like a pretty athletic football player. But I think he wants to feel right. That's the impression I got last week.
Well, and let me interject here as I try to piece this thing together, what I think, and this is not what I know, but it's what I'm guessing is going on. Because I think we all understand that this was pretty much Kyle Fuller's decision to have the scope done.
Yes.
Because he just got to the point where it was like, all right, I need to get this thing fixed. And like you just said, I think this is probably something last couple weeks maybe he could have played through, but he wants it to be right. He doesn't want it. So, you know, did the Bears get frustrated that he's not returning, and then hey, all of a sudden they have all these injuries and they need the roster spot, so they say fine,
yeah,
because they made a bunch of moves the other day,
yeah,
when they put them on IR, they have other guys who are hurt. I mean, maybe that's what this is. It's really hard to kind of understand though, because when a guy has a scope, and the plan really was for him to be back week one, or the hope was that he would be back week one, and all of a sudden he's on IR. It's either he had a setback, which I totally wasn't, or that he didn't have a setback, or there's something else going on here.
Yeah.
And I get the sense there's something else going on here.
I don't think the Bears perceive this to be... I know some people, some outside media members in other markets are like, oh, Kev Fuller's out, you know, they're a two-year starter. The Bears don't look at it that way. They don't... I don't think they see this as a significant loss for them.
I don't think so either.
You know, I like Kyle. I like his promise. He may be better suited for another defensive system. I still think he has more playmaking ability than other members in that secondary. But for some reason, he's just never won over members of this coaching staff. Members of this coaching staff who had good positive grades on him coming out of Tech. Mm-hmm. They haven't come around on him, and I think they're okay with the Jacoby Glenn. I think they're okay with the DeAndre Hall. So, I mean, this isn't like Eddie Goldman. That's a catastrophic loss on the defensive front. This Fuller thing. The Bears, I think, they're just swallowing it and moving on. Like it's no big deal.
You would think they would want to trade him, but you can't trade a guy who's hurt.
Nope.
So, I don't... Anyway, it's a weird situation, but Kyle's gone for the next 8 weeks. Won't see him till week 12 at the earliest. And
well, by then we could be talking about all sorts of different things.
Yeah, who knows? Hopefully.
This could turn into a draft weekly draft preview podcast.
They might be 0-11 at that point. Probably not. Probably. It's hard to go. It's hard to go winless.
Yeah.
Like, they got the Jaguars in a couple weeks. They could beat the Lions on Sunday.
They could beat the Lions, yeah.
All right, so, speaking of that, let's dive in right now with our preview. It's the Lions, the Detroit Lions, at the Bears. The Bears, a 3-point underdog at home. Not a whole lot. I mean, they probably should be underdogs in this game, but it's still close. It's a noon game on Sunday on Fox. Let's get to our two big questions. I'll start.
Okay.
I just want to see how they respond. They actually offensively moved the football in the second half. And I think the big question we all have, is that because the Dallas Cowboys backed off a little? Or did they, you know, in that locker room on Sunday night, it did seem like there was some fight.
Mm-hmm.
I know people didn't want to believe this based on what they saw in the game, but based on what we heard from guys like Zach Miller, who said, hey, we're getting embarrassed on national television. And that was a word he used.
Right, right.
For the second week in a row, we can either lay down, get out of here as fast as possible, or we can fight back in the second half. I got the impression they fought back in the second half. And Brian Hoyer made a good point yesterday that, okay, yeah, maybe they were backing off, but they also knew that they were throwing the ball almost on every play.
Yeah.
That actually makes it harder because mm-hmm. they know you're throwing the ball. So, but the thing is, we still don't know. So, are they going to come back with that fight in this game against the Lions, or with all these injuries, is it still going to be a struggle?
To go off that, talk about a struggle. Here's my biggest question for this game. Where the heck is the pass rush going to come from? It's been... Look, it showed up in flashes against Brock Osweiler and Carson Wentz, but it was literally non-existent against Dak Prescott. Their one quarterback hit the entire game came when Sam Acho was released by the tight end so he could become an outlet option for Dak Prescott, and he got to him late after a two-yard completion. That's the one hit that the press box stat guys gave him. Now, I get it that Pro Football Focus and outside other and analysts, and maybe at Hal Saw, they may have had pressures or and whatnot, but Dak Prescott was not under duress at any point in that game. He looked comfortable. He looked poised. There were some snaps where he was just standing back there. He wasn't even moving his feet, just literally standing back there. Matthew Stafford, he's not the most mobile quarterback. Where is this pass rush going to come from? Is Willie Young going to be more consistent throughout the game? Are they going to let Leonard Floyd rush instead of dropping him back in coverage more often than not?
Yeah, that's a problem I had. 11 rushes on, what was it, 40 snaps, 41, yeah. 42 snaps, whatever it was. You know, he's only rushing the quarterback a quarter of the time.
Yeah.
What did you draft this guy for?
The only way he's going to get better is by rushing the quarterback. Now, I get that.
Well, you want to contain Dak Prescott a little bit because he can run on you.
Yes, so they slowed up the rush a little bit, but still.
They'll dial it up a little bit more against Stafford.
Yeah, yeah. But some of those things is you need to – look, the interior of the Cowboys' offensive line is so strong, so powerful, that I get that the internal pressure, you know, collapsing the pocket from the inside, it wasn't there, and I understand that. But the inside rushers, whether it's Jonathan Bullard, Mitch Unrein, Akeem Hicks, where are you? It needs to be better. There needs to be an interior push to get in Matthew Stafford's face. But to go back to the Leonard Floyd thing, look, I get that certain teams have get better mismatches against the Bears. The Cowboys had weapons. They couldn't stop Cole Beasley. They had Jason Witten. They had Des Bryant. They had all these receiving options. So I get that you want your best coverage linebacker to handle some of those, but you traded up to draft him at number 9, not to cover Jason Witten in the red zone. You drafted him at number 9 to get after Dak Prescott and pressure the hell out of quarterbacks. When are you going to allow him to do that?
It's a good question. I mean, I totally agree.
More, I mean,
his best tape at Georgia, and I said this a million times coming out after the draft, his best tape because they used him all over the place. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the knock. It was like, well, you look at this guy's overall tape, it's not that impressive. But when he actually rushed the quarterback, when Georgia dialed him up on the edge and said, go get the quarterback, he did it.
Yeah.
That was his most impressive tape. And now it seems like the Bears are trying to use him like Georgia did.
Yeah.
Instead of just letting him get after the passer.
Right. I wonder if Lane Johnson ate him alive in week three.
He did.
I mean, or what was that? Week two, sorry. He was no match for Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson is probably moving into the upper echelon of right tackles in this league, in my opinion. But let that be a learning experience. Let him try to take that into the following week where he's got a veteran right tackle to fend off instead of the young up-and-comer, you know. But it's puzzling. I know Vic Fangio is upset with a lot of pieces of his defense right now, but I think some fans are upset with what Vic Fangio is doing. I think that's fair.
All right, my second big question. The Detroit Lions are averaging 27 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that was in garbage time against the Packers last week, but there's no question that this offense, especially through the air, is pretty lethal. They're averaging 312 yards through the air, despite not having Calvin Johnson.
Okay.
Okay, I traded Marvin Jones 2 weeks ago. I want to kill myself. What a dumb move that was. That was my throw-in in the Aaron Rodgers trade.
Really?
I don't regret trading Rodgers. I regret trading Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
That was rough. Wow.
Well,
because he looks good, though. And Matthew Stafford, I said this a couple weeks ago, and I was like, well, could he actually be better without Calvin Johnson? That sounds so crazy, but he's spreading the ball around more. So my question here is, can the Bears' defense hold them under their average of 27 points? It seems doubtful. Not having Eddie Goldman out there.
Man, I get some of that averages from the garbage time against the Packers. I get them playing catch-up where they have to, you know, be more aggressive. That's what I'm getting at. But, yeah. Well, here's the thing, right? People are rating the Bears as the worst team in the league, right? They got blown out by the Cowboys, and I get that. But they weren't really blown out by the Texans. They weren't really blown out by the Eagles. Yes, the final margins are what they are, but going into the fourth quarter, they were beating the Texans. At one point against the Eagles before Jay Cutler's injury became too much for him to bear, it was 9-7 Eagles. So these games have been tight at some point. Two out of the three of these games have been tight at some point. The Cowboys game was a complete atrocity. I mean, that was abysmal football played by the Bears, especially in the first half. But they've been in these games. Their defense has been...
But do you trust them to put the four quarters together? That's the
question. No, and the thing
is, they haven't done that.
You know, and the thing is, in those first two games, they were healthy.
Yes.
Against the Cowboys, they were not. I have my doubts that if this game gets out of hand, I mean, you may see a repeat of what you saw against the Cowboys, right? Big points early by the Lions. Bears have to play catch up in, which you know they're not built to do.
All right. Did you do your second question?
Here it is.
All right.
What will Jordan Howard be in this game? Because you know he's going to be their workhorse. I don't know. I know they just signed, what's his name, Bell, Joique Bell. I don't know how much he's going to get, how much action he's going to get. Here's a stat for you. So Jordan Howard had, what were his final numbers the other day? He had what?
Hey, this was my bold prediction. I didn't quite get it because I said he would run for 70 yards.
Yes.
But he did get over 70 yards between his rushing yards and his passing yards.
Yes.
They did utilize him more.
So he had two runs for 36 and 14. That's 50 yards, right? I think he finished with...
But on all his other runs, he went nowhere.
Yeah. I think he was minus... His other seven carries went for minus 5 yards.
Yikes.
He needs to be consistent. Yes, there are a lot of positives to see in him. He may be a better fit for this scheme than Jeremy Langford. We'll get a good chance to see that over the next few weeks. But he's got to be more consistent. He's got to... I know if everybody's getting carried away with youth and promise. They like a hard-nosed runner, but, I mean, 7 carries, minus 5 yards, that completely wipes out those other two runs, in my opinion.
How about this? The Bears got rid of Matt Forte. They got rid of Martellus Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, with the guys who are hurt and the guys they cut at those two positions, Jordan Howard and Zach Miller on Sunday will be the only two players active in that game that were even on the roster when the season started. And I'm talking about the regular season.
Yeah.
They had so many tight ends in training camp. They looked like they thought they had a surplus of running backs. They cut Jaquizz Rodgers.
Right.
But then guys got hurt. Lankford's hurt. Kadeem Carey's hurt.
You can only prepare so much for injuries.
So now they have Joik Bell, who's going up against his former team.
Yeah.
And they got, and he'll probably be the number two, I think. And then Raheem Mostert. Which, did you notice that quote on Monday from Fox?
What did he say?
He pronounced Mostert's name wrong, which I might be doing right now, too.
Yeah.
Well, I know he screwed it up.
Yeah. Like Kwiatkowski?
And then he goes, Kwiatkowski.
Sounds like a...
Kwiatkowski. There's no L in the
name. Sounds like a Polish kid from a Johnny Hughes movie.
If you were drafted by this team in April, and the head coach still didn't know how to pronounce your last name, would that bother you?
Well...
Like, If Chris DeLuca didn't know how to say your last name,
James or something,
after all this time, that would bother
this
you.
This is Fox, though, and it's not exactly like it's Nick Smith or something.
Kwiatkowski, it's not that hard.
The word is, too, that he's changed the pronunciation, too. He wants it Kwiatkowski now.
Kwiatkowski.
Instead of Kwiatkowski. Yeah. He wants Kwiatkowski.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's no good for us either. Anyway, he's starting again this week.
Yeah. I forgot where I went there. But
you going?
So Fox said Raheem Mostert's not a household name.
Yeah.
And he pronounced his name wrong.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. Well, it's a great example, John.
Not,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. He's not even a household name inside House Hall,
no.
Apparently.
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's get to our bold predictions. Bold predictions. So I tried to set this one up.
All right.
Because one of my questions was, can they keep the Lions under their league average, or their average through 3 weeks of 27 points. And I said I had my doubts. Well, I said that so I can make this sound like it's bolder than maybe it is. I think the Bears keep them under 27.
Okay.
And really,
26?
yeah, maybe 26.
Okay. But it's still.
Just barely. My thinking in this is that the Bears' passing defense has been much better than their rushing defense.
Okay.
And the Lions don't run the ball as well as they throw the ball.
And they lost their starting running back.
Right. So I think that matchup right there, I don't know if it's enough to give the Bears a chance to win.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it plays into the Bears' struggles right now. Because I thought the loss of Eddie Goldman was so glaring to me on Sunday night. Will Sutton was getting pushed backwards like 5 yards on every play. Maybe not 5 yards, but 3 yards. It's just not the... And you heard Vic Fangio yesterday talking about how they just got blocked. Everyone was getting blocked.
Yeah.
Well, not having the guy that eats up blockers there in the middle is a huge reason for that happening.
Yeah.
But if you have a team that doesn't run the ball as well, maybe that helps you a little bit. Zeke Elliott's not going to be in the backfield.
No.
For the Detroit Lions. All right, that's the point. And I think their passing defense, right now the Bears rank 10th in passing defense, which maybe surprises some people.
Yeah. Especially after the last game.
It'll help a little bit. My bold prediction is the Bears do keep the Lions under their average, 27 points. Keep in mind, they only scored 15 against the Titans at home 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of that was, again, like we mentioned, playing catch-up and getting aggressive against the Green Bay Packers. Last week, my bold prediction, I'm going to stay on an individual basis because I think that's the only thing worth watching right now until they win a game, right? I'm not going to pick the Bears until they win a game. Kind of foreshadowed my pick there, but I'm going to go back to Kevin White and double down on Kevin White. He gave me that flash play, so I came through with my bold prediction last week. He gave us that flash play,
mm-hmm.
right? This week, he goes over 100 yards receiving.
Wow. Kevin White?
Kevin White.
Okay.
Got to be bold, Adam.
That's very bold.
Yes.
That's the double bold prediction mm-hmm. of the week.
He hit 62.
Okay.
He'll do it again this week.
All right.
Or not do that again. Plus 40.
You heard it here first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, because everybody's...
Predictions.
All right, go ahead. Skip. Go ahead.
We got to move things along here a little bit.
All right.
You did it. You said it. 100 yards.
All right.
Who's winning the game?
Lions.
Yeah.
I got them 24, what did I put here? 24-20. So, yes, they come under your bold prediction. I think it's a tightly played game, and I don't think it gets away from the Bears, but I just don't think they put up enough points up on the board. Well, obviously, but I don't think they're able to stick with some of the firepower that the Lions have.
I'm going to say 26 to...
So you are coming one a point under your
bold prediction. Yeah, I like that.
That's so bold, then.
I like that, though.
Okay.
No, it is bold because
it counts, I guess.
Yeah, it counts. 26 to 23. I don't know how they get to 26, but they will.
Okay.
And the Bears offense.
Miss PAT
maybe
somewhere.
The Bears offense has three good quarters instead of just two.
Okay.
Or one.
It's better. It's a better matchup.
It is a better matchup, I think it is. You could score on the Lions defense.
Yeah. You know, and they know Matthew Stafford so much better than they know.
They're not going to have Ziggy Ansah, right?
Right. No. I mean, they're missing some pieces, and again, they're more familiar with the Matthew Stafford than they were with the Prescott or Carson Wentz or even mm-hmm. Brock Osweiler, and I think that matters, especially in game planning and whatnot. I mean, there's plenty of film at Hallis Hall on Matthew Stafford.
It won't surprise me if the Bears win. I just can't go with them. They've lost six straight to the Lions, three straight at home.
How about that?
They haven't beaten the Lions since, I said this on Sunday's episode of the podcast, since Lovie Smith was there.
Yeah, there's beat writers at Hallis Hall who've been there for, they're going on their fourth year.
Yeah, and they haven't seen the Bears beat the Lions.
That blows my mind. Now, I've seen them beat the Lions, but man, what?
That's not good.
Yeah.
Right. All right. We need to get this thing moving along, get to some of our other predictions in the NFL and college football. But first, our favorite segment. What does the Fox say?
It's like you said, it's not an excuse, but it is an excuse. So we'll just stick with that. What the Fox say?
Well, that was an answer to one of my questions.
And I don't think you said that. Or did you?
No, I think I did set it up. I did. I wanted to take away his answer. You know what I mean? But then he just used it anyway. You know,
it's not an excuse. But it is an excuse.
Just say it, man. You're missing your starting defensive tackle, your middle linebacker, your safeties are all concussed. That sucks. It's not easy to have a game planner to play effective football when you're missing all that stuff through the middle of your defense.
But you know what? He did say that plenty of times on Monday. He managed to kind of just sort of hint at it and slip it in there at times. Not make it seem like he was using it as an excuse, but he did use it as an excuse. And it is. It's a fair excuse, like you said.
It's like you said. It's not an excuse, but it is an excuse. So we'll just stick with that.
That's what I teased on Sunday's podcast, if you heard it, that he had given us some gold for What Does the Fox Say.
Yeah. I thought you were going to go with the inappropriate one from Denver.
We're still saving that.
Okay.
I need a week where, because there are some weeks where I don't have many options, believe it or not, and we'll keep teasing that.
Yes, we should use that, actually, like as part of our, anyway.
Well, this is what I think should be the podcast motto.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Oh.
That's Harold Jones Corte.
Yeah. I like Harold.
That's my favorite soundbite of the year, and I want to make t-shirts. Come on.
That is a.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
T-shirts. Come on. Intentional grounding. Come out hard. Stay hard.
I can't stop laughing. It's like being back in high school again.
Hey.
Hey.
You got to have fun. You got to stay young.
Yeah, stay hard.
Even if it's,
no, stay hard.
Stay hard. Come out hard and stay hard. That's what we do here on Intentional Grounding every single week.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, let's get to our picks. First, we will recap what happened last week. My locks of the week were not good ones. I doubled down on the Pittsburgh Steelers,
mm-hmm.
and they got crushed by Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
That surprised me. You picked the Steelers too, but didn't lock it up.
I locked up the Lions, right?
You locked up the Lions.
Push.
And with the greatest backdoor cover ever, you got it.
I needed one.
Was it a push or did...
No, it was seven, right?
They were 7.5, though. It was seven.
Okay.
They lost by seven. The Packers were favored by 7.5.
Okay.
You got the hook there.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'll take that line.
I was feeling early in that game. What was it? 31-3 at halftime or something crazy?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, That's easy money for me.
Right.
Even though we're not using money, but money, respect.
Pride.
Money.
Respect.
It's a currency between
yes,
us
here
on Intentional Grounding. And then I also locked up, well, we'll get to these later, but I locked up Arkansas. That didn't work either.
Well, I locked up.
Remember what I said?
Michigan
I
got, State. Didn't I not?
You locked up. I think you did. Yeah. I didn't mark that down. If I.
No, I locked up.
No, you locked up Nebraska with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We got to start writing these down.
I am. I started keeping track.
Okay.
On my flight to Dallas, I went back and I listened to all of them and I created a spreadsheet.
I'm taking this, now we're getting
I'm taking this
okay.
very, very
all
seriously.
All right.
I won't tell you what your record
well,
is.
Well, let's
yet.
Go after this week.
Do you want to know what your NFL record is so far?
0-3. Oh, all the picks?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Do you want me to say it out loud?
What is it? Say it. Say it.
It's 6-12.
Okay, that's not too bad.
And that's after.
Worse
and you had a good week last week. You went 4-1 in the NFL.
Yeah, see,
no, you went.
It's
we
not
went
how
4-2.
You start, Adam. It's how you finish.
6-12.
Yes.
I'm 9-9. You're doing well in college, though. You're 9-5.
See?
All right, let's get to this week's picks. Starting tonight. Don't know how I feel about this game. Not all that excited, but Dolphins. Adam Gase, get a chance to look at his team mm-hmm. on national television at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are a 7-point favorite, 7:25 kickoff tonight, Thursday night on NFL Network. Again, we apologize if you're not listening to this until Friday.
The Bengals have played three very good teams. Now, I mean, the Steelers didn't look very good last week, but...
The Steelers are still good. I don't know what
right.
happened last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, but... sometimes people just crap the bed.
So what happens
Ben
in
Roethlisberger.
NFL?
Crap to bed that game, right? The whole team was awful. I don't know how I feel about this one. You know, because the Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill hasn't exactly been fixed by Adam Gase, who we know so well here.
Mm-hmm.
But 7's a lot of points.
And the Dolphins were very competitive on the road the first 2 weeks. They only lost by 2 to the Seahawks going across the country. Then they have to go on another road trip in week 2 to New England. They only lose by a touchdown. But that's what the spread is here. It's a touchdown. They beat Cleveland in week 3. They needed overtime to do so.
I like the Dolphins covering. Mark it down.
Okay.
Get your little Excel spreadsheet out and hit the tab button, will you?
I am also going to go with the Dolphins here. I like how they played on the road the first 2 weeks. And... This is a hard one to call, but that 7's a lot of points for me. So we're both going to go with the Dolphins here in this game. All right. Go out to London now. I didn't realize this, but the Bears play the Colts in week 5. Well, I knew that, but I didn't realize the Colts were in London in week 4.
Yeah.
Something mm-hmm. to keep in mind as we look ahead. So this is an 8:30 game, 8:30 a.m. game on Sunday on CBS. These are fun. I like having these early morning games. Mm-hmm. Gives you even a longer day. You have to endure watching the Jacksonville Jaguars, though, but it's the Indianapolis Colts playing the Jaguars in London. Again, 8:30 kickoff on CBS Sunday. Jaguars are a 2.5-point underdog.
Mm-hmm.
They're technically the home team here.
I don't know how I feel about the Jaguars. I know a lot of people were so high on them coming in, right? You know, Blake Bortles, third season. He's got these nice young receivers. They've made a lot of nice young draft picks on defense. Things can come together. But 3 weeks into this season, they still look like the old Jaguars, right?
Yeah.
You know, still struggling. Blake Bortles hasn't exactly been lights out. But then again, the Colts. Where is the real Andrew Luck? When's he going to show up, right? I mean, he had, what, one good game this year? The opener, right?
Yeah.
Now, he did play the Broncos, I believe. Now, that's a very good defense to face, but 2.5 points. I don't know. Where are you going with this one?
I'm
going
to take the Jaguars okay. here. Only we do have a common opponent here because both teams played the Chargers the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The Jaguars weren't really all that competitive while the Colts pulled it out in the end
and beat
the Chargers, but... That's tough to always look into.
Isn't there some stat that the home team doesn't do too well in London?
I haven't seen that, but maybe there is.
Am I misremembering something? All right, so this is we're going to start separating ourselves.
Okay.
You know, I got to play catch up here, so I got to take – give me the Colts.
Okay, you're going to go Colts. I'm going to take the Jags. I'm just – honestly, I'm just
– what's the over-under in that game? I could see that being high scoring.
I don't have that in front of me. Sorry.
Okay. Let's move on.
But it could be. Maybe we'll look it up. All right, week – excuse me, game number three. The Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons offense looks okay.
Their defense. They hired a defensive mind, Dan Quinn, away from Seattle, right? You'd think their defense wouldn't be one of the worst in the league, though.
That's a good point. Falcons are a 3-point home underdog to the Carolina Panthers, who lost to the Vikings last week, my upset of the week. I love that one.
That was a good pick.
You know what actually factored in that decision on being dead serious were all the protests going on in Carolina.
You
had players pulling their kids out of school. That was a distraction.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was a problem. I think for the players, that was something they were dealing with all week.
Right.
That was just on their mind. You're worrying about your kids at school. That was something that was just from a life standpoint was happening.
Yeah, and that's natural. I mean, instead of watching that extra film at night, maybe you're watching the protests on TV. Maybe you're more engaged in what's going on in your town. It's an important story.
And you know I like the Vikings.
I have
them in the NFC Championship.
They're impressive,
game.
Yeah.
And despite the injuries. So that was a big win. I just like that upset pick.
Well, here I got something for you. Hit that little button for me.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
I think the Panthers are going to destroy them.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think – look, I do believe in the Super Bowl slump, whatever you want to call it, you know, for a team that lost the Super Bowl. And I think part of that is going on with the Panthers. But they're still a much better team than a 1-2 team than the record currently says they are, right? The Falcons, they're not good. They're okay. Their defense is kind of poor. They still got some nice pieces on offense. I like the running back situation. But I think the Panthers here, I mean, this is a game that they need to have, right? You cannot fall to 1-3. Is a team coming out of the Super Bowl. I think they're a much better team than what they've shown. I think a lot of those things you just said played a role. The Vikings kind of having their way with them. Plus the Vikings, that defense is exceptional. The Falcons defense is piss poor. There's my lock of the week.
All right, you're locking up the Panthers. I'm also going to take the Panthers here. I'm not going to lock it up, though. But pretty much for all the reasons you just said, I do like them in this game. All right, moving on, we have this is all in chronological order this week, which is nice. So all these games are there is one NFC North game because we have the Vikings on Monday night, but otherwise because the Bears are playing the Lions, we already talked about them, Packers are on a bye. So we're a lot of games outside the division this week. We have the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, at the Arizona Cardinals. An 8-point favorite, the Cardinals are at home. A 325 start on Sunday on Fox.
Did you see? We just ripped on the Bills last week, did we not?
Yeah, and they.
Talking about something you don't see coming.
Right.
They just destroyed Carson Palmer and the Cardinals last week.
That was weird.
And the Rams are 2-1.
They
don't have a quarterback.
Well, they have a number one overall pick that they won't play for some reason.
Exactly. That's another story.
They get a win at Tampa last week. The Los Angeles Rams win 37-32. Arizona beat Tampa 40-7 the week before at home. The Cardinals are way too good to be going on the road to Buffalo and losing the way they did, especially a week. Maybe they got a little too cocky after what they did to the Bucks. I think they're so much better than the Rams. I think they're probably pissed off. The 8 points scares me.
It's a lot of points.
But I'm going to go ahead and do this.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Give me those Cardinals. I think they win big.
I'm taking the Cardinals, too. I'm not going to lock it up. It's not a bad lock because I think the Cardinals can win big. But 8 points is still a lot of points. The Rams have been... They've been interesting.
They have been. They're not scoring 1 week, then all of a sudden they are.
Yeah, I wrote this down. I forgot to bring it with me. This is like the first time under Jeff Fisher they've been like 2-1 in like, I don't think forever, but long time.
I just don't think they're going to. I think they're going to go back to the team that couldn't score points against the Cardinals D.
Okay.
And we know the Cardinals can put up points.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It'll be a tough one, but I like that one as my lock of the week. All right, let's wrap it up. Monday night, the Giants at the Vikings. Vikings only a 4.5-point favorite in this game. Giants just lost to the Redskins last week, 7:30 kickoff Monday on ESPN. I wanted to make this my lock.
The Vikings?
Because I like the Vikings so much, and 4.5 kind of actually seems low to me here.
Mm-hmm.
But a little bit maybe of a letdown potential here, and you got a Giants team that's going to be hungry for a win. It's a nationally televised game. I just, for some reason, I have this feeling that I still think the Vikings are going to win, but I think this could be a really good game that comes down to right to the wire at the end.
Eli Manning, picking against him sometimes just scares me, right? Because he's so unpredictable. He could go from, like that awful interception he had against the Redskins, right? That did him in. He wasn't good in that game in a lot of moments, but then the guy's a two-time Super Bowl MVP. Sometimes he has these brilliant football games where you're like, oh, that's why he was drafted number one overall. Oh, that's why people argue for his Hall of Fame candidacy. You know, oh, that's why he beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Sometimes he has those moments. And it could happen this week. You know, I don't like picking against him. I like the Giants covering. I think the Vikings win. But you know this Sam Bradford thing is due for a letdown too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is. I mean, he is the offense now. They're missing Adrian Peterson. It's him and all those receivers. There's some questions about the offensive line. Sam Bradford, who's been there for 3 or 4 weeks, he is now the end-all, be-all of their offense. Now he's in a great situation. Their defense is exceptional, best in the league. But you know he's due for some down moments, and that could happen this week.
Yeah, I agree. I just have this. This is more just sort of a gut feeling type situation. So you're taking the Giants. I am too, to cover.
Yes.
I still think the Vikings win. Let me give you some numbers to support this, too. First 3 weeks, the Giants beat the Cowboys by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Saints by 3 points. They lost to the Redskins by 2 points. All their games within a field goal. I think they're a competitive team. This is obviously their toughest game that they've had so far. But
they have the firepower that could even put fear into the best defenses like the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, if you're playing catch-up this week, it's going to be hard because we only differed on one game.
Oh, boy.
The game in London, Jaguars-Colts.
Okay.
So, sorry. All right, let's move on to our college football picks. All right, you've been doing okay with these picks.
Yeah.
Let's start it out in Iowa City. I'll be headed there tomorrow. One of my least favorite places in the world.
So what vibe do you have about this game? What does the sideline instinct in you predict?
It is Northwestern at Iowa. Iowa, a 13-point favorite.
Mm-hmm.
A 13-point favorite after losing to North Dakota State and almost losing to Rutgers.
Yes.
Back-to-back weeks. They're 13-point favorites.
Mm-hmm.
11 a.m. on ESPNU.
I like Northwestern.
I do, too, because this...
Maybe not winning, but give me those points.
This series is usually close. Of course, I said that about the Iowa State game earlier, and Iowa blew the Iowa State out.
Yeah.
But there's some funny things that happen in this. I look back at last year's game, too. The score kind of got out of hand in the second half, but Northwestern was more competitive than maybe that score indicated. But, of course, the same thing happened last week against Nebraska. Northwestern was in that game.
Yeah.
Their kicker makes a field goal and doesn't miss an extra point. Things could be different. I know that's weird to say in a game that Nebraska ended up covering, which we both locked up.
Yeah.
But 13 points to me for Iowa not playing all that well, that's too much. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I mean, you used the right word there. Just look, the record that Northwestern has is clearly not what they want, but they've been competitive. It's not like they're Illinois, who we'll get to in a second here. They can say they've been competitive in games, and I think they will be in this one. 13 points is a lot of points in a Big Ten game.
Yeah, especially when Iowa's
they're not
only beating Rutgers by 7, and they It was 14-7. I'm not impressed with them right now.
Yeah, I know North Dakota State, they're what, number 27 ranked, right?
I mean, that's a good team.
Yeah.
I think that team would have beaten Northwestern, too, which, by the way, isn't all that bold of a take, considering Illinois State beat Northwestern. But yeah. 13 points is just too much here for me, especially in a series that's usually competitive. Northwestern's gone in there and won before. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I can't do 13 with the Hawkeyes. And Vanderberg, I think is his name, the wide receiver, is out for a long time. Northwestern may be getting healthier this week on defense, potentially. So that could help too. We'll see. I can't do 13 points. All right, moving on. Illinois at number 15 now. Nebraska.
21-point favorites.
Nebraska lost to Illinois last year in Champaign. Mm-hmm. Came down to play at the end of the game. 21 points, though.
Yeah, 21 points.
That's probably where the spread should be.
You think so?
I think so, based on what Nebraska's done so far in Illinois.
Yeah,
but it's because it's right at the point where I'm like, ooh, do I have to take Illinois here? I don't want to take Illinois.
No, no. Oh, lovey, 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 lovey.
I don't think Nebraska is as good as they've looked so far.
Still,
nice win.
Illinois
did you see
is
what
awful.
Oregon did? Did you see what Oregon did last week?
What, they look sharp in their uniforms.
They lost to Colorado at home.
Yeah.
That doesn't make that Nebraska win look so good anymore.
No, no. Illinois is so bad, though.
I know. Coming off a bye, though. 2 weeks to prepare.
So what?
Team they beat last year.
Did they add better players during this two-week bye? I mean,
I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to take Illinois.
You're taking them because 21 points is a lot of points.
It is.
I mean, they could win by 20, and it's they could win 40-20, and it's still a blowout.
Good math.
Thank you. Hey, 27 minus 26, 1 point in your bold prediction. I'm taking Illinois too because 21 is a lot of points.
We are we are not differing too much this week.
No, no, no.
That's all right. I think
this next one we are.
I hate this next game. Number 8, Wisconsin. At number 4, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
The Wolverines, a 10.5-point favorite against a defense that is playing very, very, very well. 2:30 game on ABC, one of the better games of the weekend. Let's see. What did you say last week about Wisconsin? Walloped?
I think you said Michigan State was going to wallop. Yeah. I had a lot of doubts about
there was some walloping in that game.
Oh, yeah.
But it was the other way around.
Yeah, Michigan State, they're not. What we got out of that is, and what we all know, everybody now knows, is Notre Dame is a bad football team. That win, that Michigan State, that impressive win, was not so impressive after all. Because Notre Dame, they kicked out of their – they fired their defensive coordinator. They're a complete mess right now. I like Wisconsin covering in this game.
Yeah.
I think Michigan is the better team. I think Michigan wins. But they're better than – Michigan State. I could say that as a fact. I'm waiting for you, Mr. Wisconsin.
This kind of I have two different conflicting takes on this game.
Okay.
All right. One is I look at it a lot like I did last week, where I thought Michigan State would win, but I went with Wisconsin because I just thought their defense was too good not to cover 5.5. They were 5.5-point underdogs. And I didn't think Michigan State's offense was explosive enough either. That turned out to be the case, but in a huge disparity from what we thought. Michigan's offense is a lot better than Michigan State's. Okay. But on the flip side, I think we learned Wisconsin's defense is also a lot better.
And that Hornibrook kid can play.
And the quarterback's okay.
Yeah. Now, Michigan's a different challenge. I mean, if he falls much behind and
Jabril Prepper's going to be running out there probably intercepting Hornibrook.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was exceptional on third downs in that game, right? What was his percentage?
It was 80%. It was insane. Yeah. Over his first two games he's played, he completed 80% of his passes for like 200-something yards and 3 touchdowns or something crazy.
But he's also playing from a lead, right?
Yeah.
Now, if...
Although he came in against Georgia State when they were losing.
True. Bottom line is there's potential, but I think the Wolverines, if they get a lead on him, it's a lot to ask for in a hostile environment for a freshman quarterback.
So, the other conflicting take, the other side of this, is this kind of reminds me of when Northwestern went to Michigan last year, undefeated. They're ranked like in the top 15.
Yeah.
And the spread was 12.5. And I thought that was really weird considering Northwestern's defense had been playing lights out.
Yeah.
Michigan killed them. Game was over at the end of the first quarter. Now, I think this Wisconsin team's better than that Northwestern team. We learned that that Northwestern team was getting pushed around on the... When they were facing really good fronts, they would get pushed around. I don't think that's going to happen in Wisconsin here. I do think Wisconsin covers. I'm going to go with the logic that I used last week, too, against Michigan State. I think Michigan State's offense was really exposed in that game, though. On the flip side, Michigan, this is by far the best team they've played.
Mm-hmm.
They've been at home. They've been in cruise control for the most part. This is another home game. They have yet to go on the road.
Yep.
This is a tough test for them. I think Wisconsin covers. I think Michigan wins.
Okay.
All right. Last game we're going to pick here this week. What a game this is. Number 3, Louisville at number 5, Clemson. 7 p.m. on ABC. Clemson, a 2-point underdog at home because Louisville has played so well.
And they've played teams. We talk about competition and who's Michigan's playing and whatnot. I mean, what was the final score in Louisville's win over Florida State? They put up 63 points. That's what I remember. I forget what Florida State, once your number 2 or number 3 ranked team in the country, had. But they put 63 on them. 63. That's what you do to Boise State. That's what you do to some little MAC team or some other, you know, team that wants to play up, right? Some team you pay to pummel, right? They did that to Florida State. This quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
He's good.
He's electric, and he is fast. He's dynamic. He's special. He's really fun to watch.
He is, and he's by far the leader in the Heisman race right now.
Yeah.
No question about it. Now, Clemson, what they've done so far, you know, they go to Auburn. They get a tight win. Then they struggle against Troy a little bit, blow out South Carolina State, whatever. But they had an impressive win at Georgia Tech last week. 26-7. Georgia Tech's not great, but you go on the road and you win convincingly. I like that. Louisville, they were at home for that game against Florida State.
Still, 63 points.
I know. I'm not taking anything away
with
it.
Did you see the highlights of that game?
Yes, I watched most of that game.
That guy, I'm trying to think of...
Northwestern had a night game that week, so yeah. I watched a lot of that game.
I mean, that's like... That guy looked like Bo Jackson in Tecmo Bowl, man. He was...
A lot of comparisons to Michael Vick.
Yeah. It's a huge comparison.
A lot of comparisons to Michael Vick. I'm going to take Clemson here.
With the points?
I don't feel great about it, but the fact that they're a home underdog, this is a night game.
Mm-hmm.
That is a tough place to play at night. It's a lot different than 11 a.m. in Louisville.
Okay.
All right. I think that this is a tough spot for Louisville to go into. I like how Clemson's rebounded the last 2 weeks. Only 7 points allowed the last 2 weeks. Granted, one of them was South Carolina State. But Georgia Tech is a difficult team to prepare for sometimes, the way they run that triple option. They were fine. A lot of gimmicky stuff there, but they were fine. Lamar Jackson's a lot better than anyone on Georgia Tech, but it shows me that they can handle a running quarterback.
Okay.
All right, that's what I like here. I'm taking Clemson. Don't feel great about it. I'm not going to lock up any of the college picks this week, but I am going to take Clemson.
I'm taking Louisville.
Okay. Well, finally, we differ
for
once.
Yes. I think that they're an exciting football team to watch, man.
They are. Well, I'm not taking anything away from that. And I will.
They're on a roll right now that is...
I'll be on I-88 getting home as fast as I can from Iowa City to get home for this game.
No, it's...
I'll be listening to Matt LePay in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin's play-by-play guy.
I know.
And that's how it's. And then get home for this awesome game between Clemson and Louisville.
Without any root and interest, which is makes
it's
it
a fun
more,
Saturday.
Yeah.
Hate Iowa City, though.
And then we got the Bears on Sunday.
What a terrible place. Oh, yeah. And then there's Sunday.
Yeah.
It's like the letdown every week. All right. Well, that pretty much does it for us, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of games to pick. We'll see what Jay Cutler does the rest of the week. Follow us on Twitter, @AdamHogue, @AdamJohns, for the updates there. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com as well. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. And again, please rate it, review it. We appreciate you doing that. Got anything else?
Nothing. 0-4 Bears, maybe?
Ugh.
Oh, boy.
That would be tough. That would be worse than 0-3.
Yeah.
Remember last year, they were 0-3. They came home. Winnable game against the Oakland Raiders. Took care of business.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. It's an excuse, but it's not an excuse.
If they go to 0-4, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. Let's go.
You know what the key to the game is. We'll leave it for you right here.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Thank you, HJQ.
We'll talk to you guys on Sunday with the postgame. Thank God we will not be doing it at 2 a.m. again.